I come here night after night, and I'm always filled up and overflowing with the wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus. I read one time in my real young life where a man by the name of Solomon prayed, "Give me an understanding heart," because he was called to be king of Israel. And because he was the king, he said, "I do not know how to go in and out among the people. How can I speak to so great a people?" he said. And then the Lord said, "Solomon, because thou hast asked for an understanding heart, and neither for gold nor silver riches, long life or whatever," he said, "I'm going to give you wisdom like no other king has ever had or never will have. And I'm going to give you riches and long life and all these blessings. I'm going to give you all of it." Well, anyway, I read this, and I was already tore up because I'd been called to the ministry. And I said, "Lord, I do not know how I was talking to the Lord, and I'd weep before the Lord, and I said, "I do not know how to preach. I do not know what to say. And you've struck me down, and you've turned me around from my way of life." And I was struck down, so the end of the world turned around and come to on the green lawn, as I said. Some of you have the testimony. How to find a woman stooping down over me, washing my face with a cold cloth, a wet towel or something. And I promised God I'd preach the gospel. I felt I was supposed to preach the gospel. I didn't even know nothing about the gospel. But anyway, I said, "Lord, I just don't know what to do." And I said, I'm so afraid that I won't say the right things. And I don't know what to say anyway. And I said, I'm afraid that if I say the wrong things, then I'll go to hell and I'll cause other people to go to hell. And I was just all tore up. But anyway, he spoke to me. You know, the Lord said, "And I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ask what you will." And I asked, I said, "For God's sake, give me an understanding heart." And he did. And he's blessed me all down through the years. So we've tried to tell the truth to the best of our ability, tried to explain things the best that we know how, and share with people, tried to walk in his way, and he's been good to us in every way. There's a lot of things in my heart that I would like to say to you. There's a lot of things that I would like to explain to you. Perhaps you already know and perhaps you don't. But to them that don't know, I would like to explain these things that's in my heart. And these things, as we have fragmentally presented through the years, proportionally speaking, we brought a little bit here and a little bit there and a line upon line and precept upon precept. And as the Bible said, each one calling to the mate and not one liking her mate. And not one good promise of God having failed, never having altered anything that of his wonderful wisdom and saying that ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. Well, we would like to explain, and we've tried just in our little helpless sort of a way to do what we could and trusted that God would speak to the people. And he graciously has around the world. And in this, that he has spoken unto us, the things he has told us, he started with Genesis and he went all the way through Genesis down through the years, covering every step of the way down to the book of Revelation. Right straight through the book of Revelation, and the book that's so complicated that people as a rule shy away from and can't understand it and refuse to try to really elaborate on it. He led us right through it, which it was, as the world said, Greek to me. I couldn't understand any of it, it seemed. But he led me right through it and he unveiled it and opened it up just so simple that a little child could understand it all the way through the book of Revelation. And today, because of that, I have those things in my heart. Well, in that, that covers a lot of ground because I took it from the Lord. I said, "Now you said, I have an unction from the Holy One that I should know all things. Now, I've been told in my lifetime there's some things that God doesn't want you to know. But I'm going to take your word in preference to what I've heard and been taught. So I said, now I'm going to accept the fact that I know all things through Jesus Christ my Lord. And he made all things known unto me. And then I said, I read where you said, all that my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. I said, now, I'm going to accept the fact that I have access to all things that the Father has, all things that the Father gives, all things that the Father knows. And you said that we could comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length, that though the intellectual and the great artists of this world, the great professors and the learned men in this world, though they cannot understand it all, for the Bible said they cannot see when good cometh, and Satan, Lucifer, even the god of this world has blinded their eyes, that they cannot see when good comes, and that this great light that shined in the darkness as to among the people in the intellectual darkness, that the darkness could not comprehend it, but that we are children of light, and we comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. So I'm going to accept that I've comprehended the heights, the depth, the width, and the length through thee, Lord. And sure enough, he made me to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. And I said, now you said to let this mind be in me that was also in you. And you said that in that mind all things were given unto you. For you said all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. I said, now, Lord, you said, as you are, so am I in you. And though I be lacking in my own ability, yet am I complete in Christ. You said. And from now on, whatever you are, that's what I am. For you said that we are heirs and joint heirs with you. And the thing joint heir means that whatever he is, that's what you are. And whatever he possesses, that's what you own. So from now on, that's what I am. And I said, and you said as to Paul, Paul, it is not you living, but Christ within you. I said, and from now on, it's not me living. It's Christ within me that's living. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So then with all of this and on and on and on, it went, it worked. It worked beautifully, right down to a T. It works. Faith in his word works. Now, then the question arises, Brother Pike, what does this profit and where are you coming from, they say? Well, it does profit. Though they said in the Old Testament, what profit is it that we have served the Lord? Yet, I have not cleansed my hands in vain. There is a great profit into it. And as to where I'm coming from heaven. Jesus said, I came from heaven. I go back to heaven. And as to you, that to whom the earth belongs, you came from the dust, and from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. For the Bible says that God hath placed the old serpent as to a generation of vipers on their bellies, and all of their labors for their belly and their mouth, because their belly craves it of them. So evidently, from the dust thou art, Adam, and in that you're going to be the head of that serpent, and you're going to do the thing that you want to as far as your gullible desires, and seize upon the things of the world as to the natural things of the earth, and your affection is going to be set on things of the earth. It's proof that the serpent's mind is going to be in you, and that you're going to be the serpent's body, and to the dust thou shalt go, because the curse is he's upon his belly. All right. What profit is it that we have cleansed our hands and that we're serving the Lord Jesus? What profit is it that God has brought us to this wonderful, marvelous thing? All right, let's read and see. To believe like this, what profit is it? In St. John chapter 10, now listen real close, 25th verse, Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I said, Father, you said that Jesus was one with you. Now you and I are one. So by faith I accepted as he is, so am I. And then the Lord spoke to me where Jesus said, Father, I pray not for the world, but I do pray for these. Where they've been and where I've been, they've been beholding all these things that I went through as to sovereign, whatever. And then he said, I would that they be with me when I sit upon my throne. And as they have beheld all the sufferings that I have experienced, he said that they might also behold the glory that you have given me. So he said, my Father and I are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of the hand. Now, what profit is it? The 34th verse of the book of St. John. Is it not written in your law? I said that ye are gods. Is it not written in your law that I said ye are gods? To me, I don't know how you feel about that. But to me, that's great. And that's mighty. Is it not written in your law? Jesus are looking at men that are accusing him of blasphemy. They say, you blasphemed, all because he said, I am the Son of God. Now, I say this to you as I've said in the past, and it looks like that this thing that we've said one way or another as to whether God has given it to them or whether they got it from the ministry here or whatever, that it's went on the television and the numbers of people that's even started a movement with it. And that some of the men on TV are using this as being gods. And even the man that blows them down in Florida before them, Benny Hinn, I believe it is. And he told his audience, said, I've got something that I want to tell you. And I don't know how to explain it to you. And he told him, he said, we are gods. He said, but I don't know how to explain it to you. And then, of course, I believe it was the Kenneth Copeland, I believe, also on the TV. Somebody had a dream where he had us on his program. And it could have had to do with the message. I don't know. But he did get up and make similar statements that we're gods. And evidently, some of it is a reflection from this, because the terms that I used, that dogs beget dogs and human beings, and gods of gods, was some of the backup phrase that they used. But anyway, I'm saying that here they say that he blasphemed because he said, I am the Son of God. Now, a lot of times when I make reference to this about gods, I feel you draw up on me. And people do draw up on you. And they feel like, well, I don't know. Now, that's what Satan said to Adam and Eve. I don't know. You know, and they draw up. And they feel like I'm blaspheming. Oh, they wouldn't have me know that for anything. And they'd go right along with me. But I pick up the spirit and I know what they're doing. The Bible said Jesus perceived their spirit, their thoughts in his spirit. See, so Satan did say that in the day that you eat thereof, he doth know that ye shall become gods or as gods. And that was true. See, because when he quoted the scripture to Jesus, he said, "It is written that he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone." And that was true. That was the scripture. You can read it. That's verbatim. Jesus did not dispute it. He said, "It is also written." Now then, what are we dealing with? So the Lord had said to Satan, "Though thou settest thine heart as God, and shall ascend into heaven, and make thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell." Which he's done. Through the old tree of knowledge, through science falsely so called, he's climbed up through the knowledge of men like Einstein, and on through the utilization of other scientists, the old intellectual way of life, until he's broken into the atomic world, as to that which is invisible to the natural eye and has to be scoped into view. And he has climbed up to the moon, took the little thing they call the nest, set it down on the moon, making the nest among the stars. And in so doing, it has been the intellectual viper. It has been the generation of the snake, the generation of vipers, the old intellectual, and the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel through grace. And he hath gone into the upper lintel. And as it was, I've referred to it a number of times, that when the school teacher started up, that all of a sudden God let that thing turn into a blaze of fire pitch and go down into, as it would be, the bottomless pit, because the ocean represents that, end of the creeping things and whatever. And the Bible said in that day there won't be any sea as to the bottomless pit, as to the symbolics. And of course, that went up, they named it the Apollo. And the Bible speaks in the book of the revealing as to the revelation, speaks of it like this: "And he that is the king of the bottomless pit," and refers to him as the Apollyon. So we know then that it has happened. And we know that they also, I believe out of Texas, took some sacraments from the Lord's Supper as to a Catholic thing, and wine, and took it up to the moon, slipped it in and took it up. We also know that they took the United States flag and took the stars and stripes, as we say, and they lifted it up and they took it to the moon. Whereas it's easy to see that Ichabod is wrote across the door. As in the days of Eli, when the Ark of the Covenant departed, Ichabod was wrote across the door. And the child that was born at the death of the person was named Ichabod, which means the glory of God is departed. And in that America is called the New World, then when the flag went away, that represented her glory. And it was as to the stars and stripes, as to the blood upon the back, as to the stars of revelation over his head where the woman is found, America the woman, and as her footprints on the moon, because the Bible said the moon was under her feet. And it all came to pass at a time of Jimmy Carter or JC, Jesus Christ, as they painted the beards. It showed it on some of the little signboards. And then America all of a sudden put up big signs, a snake representing America. "Don't tread on me." And then we told you about the vision we had of the snake striking the bear and whatever. Well, anyway, spoke of the Iron Curtain falling in Russia and what it had to do with it. And you know how Russia's gone to pieces. And there's some things that really yet to come. So in this, old glory departed, for Jesus was delivered for our offenses, and God gave his son as to the stripes on his back. By his stripes we were healed. And he was made sin as to the departing of that part, and delivered for our offenses, and then came again as the Spirit entered in, as to a body in another form. And the Bible said that he came forth in another form. They did not recognize him as they walked on the way to Emmaus with him. Appeared in another form and said, "Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said." Now, in this, all glory went away. And then when we were at Eden, you remember the vision my brother had about this being the White House? Believe it or not, here we are at Mount Vernon. And believe it or not, Washington was the father of the country. And believe it or not, we're near Mars Hills, as Paul was, as to Athens, where all the streaking and all the foolishness is. And as to the intellectual reasoning, and on and on and on. And the little White House is not far away. And Washington, as to the little town of Washington, isn't far away. All these that relate back to history, and a lot of time it would take to explain how these came to be. So we know that as to this area, it's symbolic because there's been 7 to 9 governors that have resided in this town. As to George Walton and the establishment of the county, and it has great significance as referring to the church ages and the birth of the child. We know that this is a baby farm, and we know that this is called Little Bethlehem, and we know that the babe was born at Bethlehem. And it was little Bethlehem because it said, "Bethlehem, though thou art little and small among all of these places, said, yet out of thee shall come forth a governor, and he shall control my people." And we know that as to them, there was a natural body that had to be born. And as to that, if that body had to be yielded up for sin, that the old glory was to be gone. And we know that in that the conception, salvation of the Jew as to the male, and America as to the woman, the female, as to the conception and the woman receiving the conception, as to hide away, as coming to America like a wilderness, to hide away here among the Indians and whatever, that it was to be until the time of the birth. And that America has gone through lots of things, and as a man gives in to a woman, so as to not mark that child, and lets her have her way until that child is born, then afterwards the woman is brought back under subjection. Until then, she's all out of proportion, and she's hid away until the child is revealed, and she's back to normal. As to the admiration of her husband. And she comes out of her hiding, more or less. So, in this, America came in here, and she was really out of proportion. In the wilderness, going through this, even Washington, I had a picture of Washington in one of the big books, of the mud hole of Washington, when they were building the building, the capitals, and those things, the White House, and it was just a mud hole, and it's just a place where horses and the manure and all this kind of thing, you know, was. So she really was out of proportion. But when her child was born, as to bring it to the throne through Washington, as representing the spirit of truth, the little story about the cherry tree, as to representing virtue. In this, and then coming over to Lincoln, whereas Washington is the Holy Spirit in the symbolics of the Father. And then coming to Lincoln, who represented the Son of God, saying that if I could share my sorrow, the sorrow of my life with the people, everybody in the whole world would have some sorrow. I have so much heaviness. Representing the man of sorrow acquainted with grief. And in that our nation depicts Abraham, as to the statues and all these kind of things, see as the Son of God, as to Abe Lincoln, the honest Abe, putting his face on a penny because it is said that he owed a man a debt, and the debt was a penny, and he wrote a check for the penny, and they say it is the smallest check that was ever written. So, knowing this, Abraham Lincoln freed the black man. He freed the slaves. See, because the mission of Jesus was to conquer, and it was to move darkness as a curse away from the people. And the black man had been called in this because of God. He works everything after the counsel of his own will. And he used the black man as a type to show the curse of darkness, which meant intellectual ignorance. And the black man, for many years, never really excelled in the educational side of life. Though he had a great thing and was at peace to fish and eat and have his good times, but the Lord prepared his heart not to be contented, that he might feel that the white man had something he didn't have. And indeed they did. He didn't have sorrow and heartaches and woes and problems, and the white man did. And they struggled till they got educated so they could share some of it. And today they do. But anyway, as to God working this, always balancing things right, that if one was underprivileged in one capacity of life, God would give to him a great thing in another way of life. As it was, we told about the little thing about the ugly duckling. You remember the story? And we told the other night about this man that was so ugly, and yet he wrote the most beautiful poetry and the most beautiful songs, and God lifted him up on this side, whereas some handsome guy couldn't write nothing but a mess. See, and here he lifted him up, and lifting him up, he wrote the song, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." The song said, "Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing." So then we know that everything is symbolic, even as to the red coats, even as to the midnight cry, even as to the riding of Paul Revere, and all these things. We brought them out in fragmental sermonettes and your own tape as to 1,000 or so sermons. And we brought out as to history, the projecting of history that comes from Israel. Israel going down into Canaan. And there into Canaan, civilization rising up from the hieroglyphics and from the science, falsely so called. And then, all of a sudden, from that, moving in a historical stride, or history, or his story. Moving in a historical stride from the old country to the new world, because they called America the new world. And here come in this intellectual stride with book learning, and it's recorded on through the dark ages, the monks, the nuns, and all of this, and even the word of God pen, as from the prophets right on up from Egypt, Abraham's journey, whatever it might be, what Moses said, and then coming to America. And now, in that life, as to the fall in the garden, life was veiled in intellectual darkness and had to be presented to the human heart through the old serpent of the instrumentality of human beings. Coming through human beings, through the intellectual darkness, then it said God veiled himself in darkness, because when the Shekinah image was lost in the garden, and Adam fell from the garden, he became the image of the serpent, and he was no longer the Son of God. The illumination as to the image in which we were made, as to being made in his own image, when he said, "Come and let us make man in our own image," that image, that Shekinah glory, that covering had lifted and gone away. And then the Lord said to them, "You cover with a covering, but not of me." Because their covering then was the intellectual darkness that brought to them the beast body when he covered them with coats of skin. To the dust they were now on their belly, and the ground was cursed, and they had to toil among the tares as to the thorns upon Jesus' head to bring forth his children and wife and the bride. We're just compacting these things because there's many thousands of things of detail that has been made known to me concerning these things, and for me to explain it, it would take many days and many nights, even as God 80 days and nights talking to Moses. Even as Paul, 3 years or more after all of his learning during his lifetime. We know then that from the time that Adam fell, coming down, down through the generations, that it was a generation of vipers, and it comes down to Calvary, and the axe is laid unto the root of the tree, and the whole generation of vipers as to people, and all that are under the law are cut down and condemned as to the curse of the law. Cursed art thou, the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. And everything is cut down, and then a new tree is planted as Christ Jesus comes as the second man Adam, as the quickening spirit. To the first man Adam to be delivered for offenses as the old glory, and then as that glory that one time was in the garden passed away as the old glory, then God, as to the smiting of that image that defiled itself and fell to that low state of the generation of vipers, all of a sudden God resurrected, having put through the fire, brought up another image over here, which is the new glory. God said, I'll do a new thing. And here the new man Adam, the second man Adam, the resurrected Adam, the quickening spirit Adam, the image in which we were made that were lost in the garden. All of a sudden this image had come back, and now the whole world is illuminated with that image of grace. But we who believe in God have received this wonderful Christ image as to this glory that was lost, restored, and now it's on the inside of us as the kingdom of God, and our spiritual innermost being has been translated into the very mind of Almighty God, as to our mind, our thinking, our life, our dispositional way of life. And now our angelic being, as to our life, has been translated into Christ as angel. And that means that we're now hid in Christ. And this radiating life of him that is within us, greater than he that is in the world, that is in the world, even Lucifer, the prince of darkness, cannot even get near that wonderful Christ that has defeated him in all things. And that's why the Bible said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Draw nigh to Christ. That is, subdue this body to that great angelic one on the inside, which is not you living, but Christ. And draw nigh to Christ, and Christ will draw nigh to you. So, just fragmentally speaking tonight, not being able to do very much, especially being late, I just wanted to bring a few thoughts down. And if we could, at this time, once we get down to Calvary, if we could then pick up and bring you the present day truth of what's happening right now, it would be so fantastically beautiful as you could look and see who you are and what you are and the day that you're living in and what God has done and what God is doing and what God is going to do and how much time there's left to do it in. Anyway, it's just wonderful. It's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. So Paul said the revelation was made known unto me. It was made known unto him so thoroughly as being our oversight. So very thoroughly that he said they that seem to be somewhat in conference as intellectual greatness, or those that know a lot of things, he said they don't have nothing that I can learn from them. He said they add nothing to me. So it is a true fact that in Christ, as it was when he brought them out of Egypt, 3 million people, not a feeble one among them, though the aged was with them. They traveled continually, but not one elderly person was feeble, strong and healthy. And 3 million of them he took through the wilderness, kept them, tutored them, and said, and when you go into Canaan, your understanding is going to be so great that they'll be afraid of you. Though you've not had colleges, you've not had all of these other things, but the understanding heart that you have. All right, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him and make him of a quick understanding. So then we see that coming on down to Calvary, here the head of the serpent was smitten. And my, I wish we could go into the revelation of it. Coming on down, it was smitten. And then from then, the expose. Maybe one of these nights we'll be able to pick up, depending on how spiritual you are. Paul said, I would that you're spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation, that you might be able to get into this wonderful light that the world can't see, the unveiling, to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great, masterful thing of God that transformates you from glory to glory, from virtue to virtue, into heaven, from earth, from Egypt, over into Canaan. So we know then that the old glory went away. And as to our day, just a little present day truth. The Bible says it's a good thing that the heart should be established in the present day truth. So it went away at the time of Jimmy Carter, at the time of JC. Well, when we get right along there, we'd really have to get into some revelation as to present day truth to be able to substantiate what we said and to unveil what we have said, as to bring it as to his story, the intellectual, this hid within this intellectual veil, this veil of death, that old tree of knowledge, see, to bring it down even as Calvary runs right to that point as to where we're at today. And that if you start with the garden and come down, and you start in the east and come down, you're coming down from the east, which is the garden, and it's the old historical trail of the serpent and the intellectual record of that understanding. So to have a great leader, God learned Moses in all the ways of the Egyptian, that when it was unveiled, he might understand. And Paul learned in all the ways of the intellectuals. God then took him and unveiled this thing to him, that he might count all of his learning as waste, and not to know anything but the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the revelation is the translation of the church. So, as I say, it's just so much to say, there's no way that we possibly could do it. Trying to compact it, it would take too many hours and too much of your patience and a lot of my time to be able to do what we would like to do, as to indoctrinate you. Jesus said, I've got lots of things to say unto you, but he said, seeing that you're dull of hearing, I can't do that. I can't tell you now. You can't bear it. So, with this, as to the unveiling, as to the metamorphosis, as to the catching away, as to this wonderful thing that we speak of, it is so wonderful. Now, it was there in Eden that the papers come out, gave us the write-up that they did, a beautiful write-up. And it was there that we received communication with Reagan concerning the flag, that he had accepted our flag. Our flag stated that the kingdoms of this world had become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, and that he should reign forever and ever. Whereas Chuck, having put this on the computer, they picked it up. So many multiplied people have picked it up on the computer. I think it was about 100 the last time I heard. 70 to 100 or whatever. I believe it said 100. Now see, in this flag, Mr. Bush received it very gratefully and also wrote us and answered us. Now, we could go on saying a whole lot about this, but we're not going to do that. But when old glory departed, a new glory came in. And Mr. Reagan, as they had the one candle on the birthday cake, said, I feel like the world is going out and I'm coming in. He was about 70 at that time. But they came out of Babylon after about 70 years. And indeed, Mr. Reagan was the man that had to do with it. As a matter of fact, I wish that we could, maybe at the men's meeting, we're going to do this. Maybe we'll give a copy to the ladies too. But Mr. Reagan, on a tape, whether we had any influence as to being influential in this or whether we didn't, it is a true fact that the things that he relates back to as to what we had said in the letter that we wrote it, and the flag reference, whatever, he starts with the Lord. He talks about the Lord. He doesn't stop. He talks all the way through about the Lord. He condemns everything that they've done contrary to the church. He magnifies the church. He tells about its greatness and how that the people failed in taking prayer out of school and all these things. And the one thing that we made statement of was they in Senate, they start their day with prayer, and yet they've taken it away from our children in school. He profoundly made mention of this as when he addressed the people. He said, I come to you with a feeling like I've been born again. And he said, and why don't the schools start their day with their children the same way that the Senate does with prayer? And on he went, and he also made the statement doing this thing that he was bringing about the church. He said, you can't burn it out. I can't remember the words. I'd rather you'd hear the tape. But it had reference to something like, as to the tribulation period, we would say, or as to the dark age. He said, you can't beat it out. They've tried that. You can't get it out of them. You can't burn it out. Whatever the terms was he used. He said, and when you've gone through all that you can to discourage the church and these people to stop them, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, they're still going to triumph over you.
Somebody say hallelujah. That's what he told the state, and that's what he told the world. He said, they're going to triumph over you. So it is so wonderful as to these things that he said. In this, he accepted the flag. So as old glory went out, a new glory came in. And as to what Junior saw of this, as to the White House, and what we have said here, and the things that are shaping up here, and something that's about to happen right now as concerning your properties over in Israel, I expounded these things as in a measure to a number of brethren the other day as they sat and listened. It took a little while, but they were so hungry and thirsty for it that we expounded it as to something I'm not saying to you tonight. But I could tell that they were hungering and thirsting after it. And I also did it because, and I say I, and yet not I, but the Lord. I also did it because in using certain people, as Paul said, I went up to Jerusalem, I conferred with Peter by revelation. Then these things was as to revelate their life and show them the strength of what they could do and what God was expecting out of them if I should send them on a mission, or what it was up ahead, or how the thing was to come out. And after that, there was a number of them that was there listening. It wasn't very many, but they were so excited and they were so thrilled and they were so grateful and so thankful. And the ones that was involved as to whatever we were to do as to the little escapade that we're speaking of, they said, I know that I can do it. I know that it'll work out right. Said, because of what I've heard. And indeed it will, because that's what it showed. That was God's way. See, you are in God's focus. You are in God's presence. And you are something in God. But in the world, as to your old intellectual, lustful way of life, and your desire is to project your image, you are a worm. I will help thee, thy worm Jacob, should you repent and call on the Lord. As to the generation of vipers, I will help thee. And you can go through the metamorphosis stages, he could have said, had the butterfly and the winged creature to no more be upon your belly, but to leave the old cocoon and be caught up into the wonderful eras of God. See, and so then we know that from here at Calvary to the unveiling and the rent veil, and the opening of the matric and the child as to the headship caught up into heaven, we automatically know that from here, it is not his story. It is the wonderful revealed of God. It is the unveiled of God. It is the moving of the intellectual tree of knowledge as to the learning, which is the veil of death. And with that, the wonderful expose of the kingdom of the Christ child, which the natural eye cannot see. And we're on the verge of bringing it around to where we don't sleep, to where he can be seen, as to the change of this body from the old cocoon of the worm to the stages of the butterfly, as to the metamorphosis of the rent veil of Calvary. So then we know that something great is happening as to the expose, and as it came from the east in the veil of his story, it is now returning, and it will return as the unveiled Christ, as it goes back to that which is derived over the tribulation period as he sets down in the throne. So it's so beautiful. We're the ones that's making history. That is to say, his story. It is not the man's story as from the old tree of knowledge, but it is his story as to the heavenly Father, as to the revealed Christ, as to the revelation of the mind of the Lord exposed. All right, let's stand together. We're just barely touching it. We just barely got to where we really need to tell you about the revelation. But since we're late, I just thought maybe I might lay a little format for what we might say later. Okay, let's sing together, can we? And the old account was settled long ago. Long ago, long ago, it's clear today. For I washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. Say it with me now. The old account was large, was growing every day, and I was always sinning, never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead, I saw such pain and woe. I will settle, so I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. And my record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. For the old account was settled. Sing it one more time with me. Long ago, down on my knees, long ago I settled it all. And the old account was settled long ago. For the record is clear today, as he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. One more time. Long ago. Long ago. Settled long ago. And my record is clear today. Jesus washed my sins away. The old account was settled long ago.
All right, let's sing another little chorus.
We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. I will come rejoicing, we're bringing in. Sing that with me. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. I will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. I shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep.
We're glad to have Brother Marin down here tonight. I think maybe he and his wife is here. And maybe Brother Sister Merritt. I heard that they are here. If you are, we're certainly glad to have you down here with us tonight. These people from out of Tennessee, they love the Lord. And they're searching for the perfection of their life. Oh, I wish we could preach to you and tell you some things about Jesus. Let's sing another chorus together, can we?
Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came to save my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came to save my soul, everything to be all right. So let us praise the Lord. Praise. Praise him in the morning. Let us praise him at midnight. And pray. I want to praise him. Praise him when the sun is going down. For sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. Heaven has come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down on me. So let us love him. Love him in the morning. Love him at the noontime. I want to love him. going to love my Lord, love him when the sun goes down. Let's sing this little chorus. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. For your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God, sing it one more time. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. All your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Let's lift our hands up together. I hope we said a few things tonight that might be edifying. Running a little late, and trust that you'll forgive us. And maybe tomorrow or the next service tonight, that is, we'll enlarge upon some of these things to where you can understand better what we're trying to say. Remember, the revelation is the rapture of the church, as you say. Sometimes people wonder, how can that be? Well, the revelation is the unveiled mind of Christ. God, who in the beginning is the Word, still is the Word, was the Word, veiled himself in darkness as that life. So the breath of life, which was God, went into the heart of the creature when Lucifer went into the body. In the body dwelt no good thing, and the intellectual reasoning captured, took control, Paul said. Another law warring within my members, bringing me into captivity to the law, and to the law of sin and death in my members. That law wars against me. And I am as life in captivity to this beastly body of covetousness and of lust. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he said, I thank God that Christ Jesus dying took my sins and became that body of contrariness. Now it's dead. I'm no more in captivity. My life has gone back as the angelic inner being to Christ who gave it. And now I'm free from the things of this world as to the covetousness of life. And all of these things is the law says, thou shalt not covet. And Jesus fulfilled that as the Spirit of Christ within him. So tonight we're free from the law of sin and death. We're free from sleep if we perfect that as to the heavenly treasure to make it manifest in our mortal genes. That will free you from death. And mind what we could say about that. But anyway, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, as to whatever your life will be, that light that was exposed at Calvary through the rent veil, great light has now come, the true light now shines. That was the revealed understanding of the Almighty God. Your eyes being enlightened as to understand, to comprehend the height, the depths, the width, your eyes of understanding being enlightened. So then in this is the mind of God. And what does it profit us? This mind, what does it do? It will make you God. My, I wish we could enlarge on that tonight. Maybe one night we'll come back and pick that up as to what it has to do with. So don't fail to get this mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Someone would say, and what kind of mind was that, Brother Pike? Not going through the revelation of it tonight, but just bring it down to a simplicity. It was the mind that thought like this. He said,
being made in the image of God, Paul said it's the revelation. Jesus was made in the image of God. Come, let us make man in our own image. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, let this mind be in you, that through the righteousness of God you believe as to your equality with God, that you may come boldly before the throne of grace without doubt, without confusion, without care, without condemnation, but knowing that you are the children of God and the righteousness of God in Christ, and knowing that you're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, that is your boldness. As to the weak, saying, I'm strong by His might and His grace. And walking into the very presence of God, in that the veil has been rent in twain, and now the way into the holies of holies is made, and we find ourselves standing in His very presence. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with thanksgiving and praise. Enter into His presence and believe with all of your heart as to your equality in God, because He did all the works. He took away all the sins. And the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, covered by the blood, and his iniquity taken away. And the old image of iniquity hath gone. And now are we His, eternally and forever. And God is desiring to bring this message as to this mind, the unveiled, and to bring this confidence of faith from that message, as my faith from my intellectual concept, whether it be intellectual, as to religion, or just natural learning. His faith as to the mind of Christ, and His faith as to that that translated Enoch, and that faith which translates your inner man into the Spirit of Christ. And by faith, Enoch was translated that should not see death. So then, with this faith, Paul, these people are in intellectual darkness. And you turn my people from this intellectual darkness of gullible desire, and turn them unto the faith which is by Christ Jesus. The faith which is in me, by which they're sanctified. Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God, for all men have not this faith, so all men will not be translated. So don't let this be an intellectual indoctrination, but press on. Press on until this glorious light shines, as the light that shined out of darkness and the world came forth as to its origin and its creation, as to that which emanated from the light. That which was before it became a lie and vanity has to be veiled in darkness again. See, let the light shine out of the darkness of the ignorance of your heart, because you've lost the image in which you were made, because the world, the earth, was void and without form. And now we're no longer void as to the understanding of the Master. Neither are we without form, for we're now the image and made in a new form, resurrected as to the very image of God Himself. And now He hath said, let there be light. And this light has shined out of the intellectual darkness. But the world that's in that darkness as to that ignorance cannot comprehend this light. So then you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. So let's lift our hands up and sing together tonight as we absorb this. Praise God for this wonderful boldness of the Lord as to be in His presence and to praise the Lamb. They overcame the evil one by the works of Calvary as to the blood of the Lamb and their confession, the Bible said. As to their testimony in the blood of the Lamb, or that is, they testified that that was their righteousness, or confessed Christ as to being their righteousness, and Satan had to flee. Let's lift our hands up and sing this song. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
I will hear Him glory all people, for His blood it's washed away every stain. Say more time. So I will praise.
I'm going to ask David Clyde to come and dismiss us tonight. And while David's coming, let's just search our hearts to examine ourselves, see if we've been in the faith. What a wonderful moment. What a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Give Him